Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things. God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We're going back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. We're so excited to be with you here on the Extra Hour. Oh my goodness, we had such an awesome first hour. I mean, what you were just talking about when we were talking about here dudes. And that was awesome what you were telling me. Can you go ahead and share that?
Yeah. It was one of the other things that the Lord was showing me through that is that, you know, being a here was because of the mindset that I had. I was stuck in a sentence. I was serving a sentence like we spoke about in the first segment.
Right.
Is that, you know, I was looking at myself like, you know, who am I? Who am I that I could do anything for the Lord?
Right.
You know, I don't have any skills. I don't, you know. Uh-huh. But that was a sentence that I was serving.
Uh-huh.
And so many of us are stuck serving these sentences,
right,
and we're not being productive in the kingdom, doing anything for God, because we're listening to the lies of the enemy.
That's right.
You know, and it was just so awesome going back and listening to these treasures.
That's exactly right. Wow, that's powerful, man. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Man, we've got so much to share with you guys today. We've got prodigals coming home. Will we be ready? And, of course, we have another segment we won't talk about yet, but well, let's go ahead and take a listen.
I think the one thing that's lost, besides much of the church, is what we came from. You know, I love those people. Like, I will never forget where I came from. It's
right.
Like, you're in a Hollywood mansion for $3.5 million. You got ducks swimming in your pool. You forgot. You forgot
right.
Where you came from. And it's like, we have to remember where we came from. And if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch or the highlights on your application, your mobile app, and looked at original intent, I mean, why not look at it now before it's a history lesson? And everybody thinks we have it all figured out. You know, it's going to be an election's coming up, and whoever you're for, you're thinking this will resolve all the problems. But the sad thing is, you know, when Israel was facing a great dilemma and God showed up, an angel showed up, and Joshua looked at this angel and he's concerned. He's wondering, you know, are you Republican or Democrat? Are you for American or against America? Are you communist, socialist, for the Republican form of government, which would be a democracy? And are you for us or against us? Are you for the enemy or are you for us? And God totally blew him away, didn't he?
That's right.
Yep.
He says, neither. I'm on God's side. And we've created, enemy loves factions. He loves to be able to divide everybody and everything. And then he convinces you that God's in your faction. He's like, nope, he's not. And hopefully today we'll get to, you know, who does God love? We need to revisit that. And you understand where we're coming from, because he loves the people in your faction, and he loves the people that are not in your faction. And we got to all start getting along and understanding as America so we can have one nation, you know, under God, indivisible. But that means with no factions, with liberty and justice for all. And we're days away. We're days away. Prophetically, I'm concerned about it. You just look away from the news. I'm gonna encourage you. When you see it coming on, I'm not going to name any letters or anything of news that you would watch, but reality, government, good news, meaning news that reports the truth, is still some things you just kind of glance at right now, because at this point, you're looking at a crescendo of consequences that have come upon a nation that because of a church that continues to eat peanut butter from armpits, and we will be talking about that. That actually something that's happened. We talked about that yesterday to get a chance to get to it. But we have ministers now that are we're just like the world. The church is like the world. There's no difference. I want to talk to you about that today. But they're spreading peanut butter in front of the church in a man's armpit, and they're eating it. They're eating it. And people are walking out of the room in disgust, and they're publishing it on YouTube, and there's no shame. There's no shame. And it's like, what have we become? Mm. What have we become? We've become the world's what we've become. Mm. We've become like the world, trying to win the world, when God's called us to be nonconformists.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to be nonconformists. And everybody, when you walk against the grain and walk with God's grain, there's so many people who got one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and the enemy uses them to beat you and pound you just to line up with the people who eat peanut butter from armpits. Mm. I mean, it's weird. I mean, obviously everybody's not doing that, but the thing is like, we got to quit being like the world.
That's right.
It's listen, when you think that's okay, that means we're in trouble. Mm. When you wink at the fact that the first rock concert that your kids have ever experienced is in what you call the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the first time they ever imitated bell worship by eating pudding out of a diaper to imitate human feces on what you call the altar, and you video that. And then you share that, and you tell all the kids, come video it as they watch and they celebrate. You know, that's not right.
Uh-uh.
That's not, what are you doing anyway? And oh my goodness. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, even if you're in the world, why would you do that to your employees? Would you bring them all in? Hey, let's just, I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but we're going to show you, you're going to be video available for you today on the VFN Torch so you can see firsthand what's taking place. And what it is, that for so long now, it's been taught, you know, the church needs to become like the world to win the world. And, you know, that's like saying, listen, I want to win a few bank robbers, so I'm going to rob a few banks.
Mm-hmm.
That's just stupid. And the reality is, when they do find God, they're going to leave you because you aren't walking with them.
Mm.
I mean, if you become like the world, the Word of God tells us that friendship with the world is an enemy of God.
That's right.
And we could be in the world, but not of the world. We have to wake up. Well, that's kind of peculiar. Well, we're called to be a peculiar people. The church, the word church means called out one.
Mm.
And then when we go in the world, we're called the sent out ones. There's a place that we come to, and there's a place that we go out from, but we don't become like the world. Yeah, we make mistakes. Yes, we sin. But it's called sin. It's things that we hate. Things that we do that we hate, not things that we do that we love. I mean, it's thing we make. There's a big difference in that, a huge difference in that. And then you're looking for people that have made a similar falling like you, living continually, and try to justify the way you're living your life. Versus, there's a huge difference between falling in mud and wallowing in mud. Just like a sheep, you have a sheep, and then you have a pig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're walking around a mud hole, and as you can tell, I'm just a little, anyway.
A turd.
What?
A turd.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Speaking of diapers. I think I had a pa in front of it. I'm not sure.
Turd.
I don't know what that word means.
He's getting good.
I'm glad I heard the pa part in front of it. Anyway, so where was I? Anyway, so you have a sheep. You have a sheep walking through. Around this mud puddle, and you have a pig walking around a mud puddle. What tells the difference, even if they look the same on the outside, how they relate to the mud puddle will tell you who they are. Mm-hmm. And imagine the sheep and the pig look exactly alike.
Mm-hmm.
And how they relate to the mud is how you know who they are. And so somebody comes over and convinces them and says, hey, you can walk on top of this stuff. You're not going to go in it or whatever. And, of course, the lie happens.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them take a step at the same time. They go, blap, and they're all in the mud. So they're both in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
But they still look the same. They got mud on them. filled it the same before they went into the mud. But all of a sudden, you start looking at them. And you have one, the sheep, whose eyes are like big and round and shocked and all this emotional disturbance. And they're kind of fighting to the edge of this pool-like thing, trying to get out and slipping and going back in, getting out, slipping and going in. And they're just like, oh, I got to get out. I got to get out of this. And finally they get out. They get cleaned off. And they're going, that was terrible. That was so bad. That was, oh, my goodness. It was just, oh, it was so disgusting. I, God, forgive me. But then you look back at the other one. It was a pig on the inside, and they're wallowing in it. They're going, I didn't know this was available. I didn't know there was pigsties like this. I didn't know that you could live in this. I mean, this stuff tastes good. Matter of fact, I think I'm just going to bask in it. Oh my goodness. And so a pig makes his home in the mud, but a sheep is shocked. Paul says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. Things I do, I hate. And so our relationship, we may all look the same, but how we respond to the mud tells you who we are. John writes in, I believe it's 1 John, he says, somebody who knows the Lord cannot continue in sin. But he also says, if someone says they're without sin, they're a liar. But we have that God is just God, and he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess it. So there's a way to deal with mud that gets on our life. But a pig stays in the mud. Right. Somebody who said, you know, I'm just going to just go after the world. I'm not going to. And the crazy thing is, like, quit enabling people and trying to convince them to be what you want them to be, instead allow them to realize what they are. So at least there's a starting point from their life. But if you keep telling them that they're a sheep when they're actually saying, well, actually, I'm loving this mud. Yeah, this is what I want for my life. This is how I want to live my life. It's so much better for us to know where we are, because if you keep telling me that I'm a sheep when I'm a pig, you know, and you keep building programs around for pigs, then I'm going to go bust hell wide open. And the very thing you told me that I was, I find out at the throne room of God, I wasn't. You let me come to the end of myself. The devil has so many enabling things, and the church does a lot of the enabling things. It has so much enabling things in the world itself, because you see somebody who would have come to the end of themselves 5 years ago, like the prodigal. I mean, think about it. We have a prodigal church in America right now. Most of the church is a prodigal church. What's about to happen? Well, everything's squandered, right? Just like the prodigal. It's all been spent on all the things that the prodigal spent stuff on. But I got news for you, and you'll hear about, who does God love? God loves that man and woman. He even loves the pig,
right,
who loved the mud, and he loves the sheep who fell in the mud. And what happened was, an economic crisis came to the place where the prodigal was. And financially, he could not afford his sin habits anymore.
Right.
And he got so hungry because of the famine and because of the economic crisis that he began to even look at what the pigs were eating. It's interesting, he was feeding pigs, right? And began to crave things that he thought he was so much better than, you know, in his own head, because he actually lived with pigs, that now he's craving what the pigs are eating. But then he's upset, because the person he's working for at a job he thought he'd never have or even be seen working,
right,
the owner won't even let him eat some of the pig food.
Right.
This is what's going on. You know who's telling this story? This is Jesus, right? And in that mud that he loved so much originally, you know, all the sexual promiscuity, all the wild living, squandered all the finances that was ever given to him, in that pigsty, in that financial crisis, in the famine, in the hunger, something very important happened. And if we as the church keep saying, oh, we don't want this economic crisis and we don't want this famine, it's like, you know, first of all, if you're a believer, you're going to heaven.
That's right.
I mean, if only 95% of the people proclaim to be believers are not winning one person to the Lord, at least be like Samson and kill more in your death.
Right.
You know, win people right. more in your death than your life. Be willing to die so that many would be saved.
That's right.
Be willing to go through something that others would be saved. And so in that crisis, this very one that shamed, can you imagine because the towns were so small back then anyway, mm-hmm. you didn't need Facebook and all that. But today, I mean, if you look at Facebook, you have these prodigals all over Facebook. And so you have sheep and prodigals mm-hmm. all over Facebook. And sometimes you just got to look away and it's like, there's no, you know, because the prodigal has no shame.
Right.
They're just going after the world. They will. That's timeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all, by the way, if they would have had this technology,
oh, Lord,
I would be all over it. Not as much as John, but I would definitely be on it. There would be enough evidence.
Oh, don't worry. There'd be plenty for me.
There would be plenty of evidence. So it's to say that our generation who didn't have that technology is any different, realize that we're on the film reels of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's Photoshop in heaven that is erased by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, except unless you smoke the Bible. No, and so it was in the crisis that he came to his senses.
Mm.
It took all of that. It took the end. As somebody says, well, he just came or she just came to the end of themselves. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, America is just going to come to the end of itself. Yes.
Mm.
You know, and it has sometimes things have to die to reborn again.
That's right.
You know, and so here the prodigal is standing in the mud that he once loved, hungering after things he thought he would never have to be. You know, I don't want that food. I don't eat that kind of stuff. And now it won't even be given to him. He is broke, busted, and disgusted. There's nowhere to go because nobody's got no money, and everybody's going through the crisis, including even his father, who he left, is going through the crisis. Well, everybody's going through the financial crisis. Everybody's going through the drought. But the difference is they're going through it with God, and he's going through it with pegs.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's in that moment, because God has given us each a decision to make. Nobody can make the decision for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it just dawned on him. It dawned on this prodigal, pigsty keeping, corn feed one, squandered life, blown inheritance person. Just dawned on him. He's like, it's just brain started working. He says, the Word of God says this. Jesus says this. He came to his senses. Let me tell you something. This is so important. Prepare yourself for this, because you've been probably deeply wounded and offended by prodigals. But despite the fact that you've been deeply wounded, I mean, look at America. Look at all the people who's gone astray, claim to be believers in what they've done. But realize this, God will forgive them in a heartbeat. You better be ready. You better be ready. God will restore them. And we're fixing to find out what will happen. And they owe you nothing. They owe you not one thing. The only thing that you owe them is love, grace, and forgiveness. The same thing that God gives them. So what happens is he comes to his senses and he realizes, it's like, you know, good thing that, you know, you wouldn't want us to be God.
No.
Now? Now you've spent everything. Now you've blown everything. Now that your lovers don't want you no more. Now they won't feed you. You got the job, said you never worked. Now. Mm. Right?
That's right.
That's exactly what Pat would say. Now the Saints are losing.
Right.
Exactly. Where were you?
Where were you in the bad days? And so he comes to his senses. Allow the prodigal, sus, plural, to come to their senses. Allow them to come to their senses. It can happen. Jesus said it will. And he started thinking, you know what? I was better off. The first thing he says is this. He came to an awareness of his sin. Mm-hmm. And there was two levels of sin. There was one level, he says, I've sinned against God. And this is a very important key to a prodigal coming to their senses. Because sometimes there's no, it's not a prodigal coming home. It's a prodigal looking for another place because because there was no boarding house at the pigsty. And but he came to his senses and he looked to heaven. He looked to God and he goes, I've sinned against God. Mm. And he was aware now of everything that he had done was sin. Mm. Which is very important. So he's broken for the sin that he committed against God. And then he realized, you know, I've sinned against my Father. You have the vertical, he had to deal with his vertical sin, then he had to deal with his horizontal sin. The sin that he committed with his, with those who fathered him or her and loved them. And, you know, they had to, if not, if you don't deal with that, it, the enemy will still divide you. You've got to take it to the cross and get healed and get delivered and get set free because you're going to be blown away. What happens when you deal with your sin? And then he says, after he deals with the sin, his vertical sin with God, his horizontal sin with men, he starts heading back because he realized, because he left his father's house, he says, I realized I was better off. I'd be better off as a servant. Now, when he left or she left, arrogant, prideful, demanding, stimulus packages, wanting type mindsets, you know, that dad or mom or pastor so-and-so doesn't know nothing, you know, and now they've come to their senses, realize that's not how they're going to think. And this is, they're so humble now. They're saying, you know what? This is what they're really saying. I was so demanding when I was here. Mm-hmm. I thought I deserved everything, but now I'll just be grateful to be around. How can I serve? Now, somebody coming back to your fellowship or to your family and starts bossing people around, that's just a prodigal looking for a place to prodigize. That is not a repented prodigal. And they just, what they'll do is they'll end up squandering everything else, mm-hmm. you know, and you'll have nothing for, there'll be nothing for them to return to. Mm-hmm. And, but he's just grateful to be around. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just grateful to be around. You don't have to say nothing, you have to do nothing. And they said, you know, I'll just go back and live in the servant quarters. I'll hang out with the servants. Those people that I used to kind of look down on, I'll just hang out with the servants. And so he starts heading back. He has it all figured out now. Mm-hmm. He's dealt with his sin. He's come to his senses. Humbled himself, right? I live with the servants. Right. And now he's heading back to be able to repent to his father. And his father started looking off at a distance. And he said, can you see? My vision's not as good as it used to be. Is that who I think it is? And somebody says, that's her. That's him. No. Is it? Now, you would think, based on the way the world thinks and the way religion thinks, that the father would have been just totally upset. The father was so excited. Mm-hmm. He realized that his son that was dead in sin, the daughter who was dead in sin, by the way, hello, church, that is no longer dead. He's alive. Mm-hmm. She's alive. They've repented. They've come back to him, and he sees them coming. And instead of thinking, oh, I got this long journey to walk up to dad, I see him there at a distance. I got to think, rehearse what I got to say. Oh, my goodness, I know that I've done these wrong things. What am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, he sees his father, and you can imagine how a father looks when he's running. Not like we did in our younger days. Right.
Clack, clack, clack.
Those wooden sandals, you know, those wooden Nikes back then.
Clack, clack, clack.
And he starts running to him. He starts running to the prodigal, the one who blew all of his, well, the one who blew every chance that he was ever getting, she's ever getting. The one that just, you know, it just totally unashamedly lived a life for darkness and sin and posted it on all their social medias and lived all this squandered life. And all these messengers had come and, because there's plenty of messengers to say, I just want to let you know. If you don't know yet, your prodigal child is in darkness. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much, you person, you. And that did, they were a person. And so, and it's like, oh, messenger of Satan. Paul said, all I want to know is Christ and him crucified. That's anybody it. Else wants to friend me on Facebook and tell me something I don't want to know?
Yeah, that's right.
Be a Paul would have freaked out, right? And so, but he runs to him. He's running to him. He's running to this person who no, Lord knows what's in this person's life. I mean, she could be pregnant. She could have two or three children. He could have a couple children. There could be some sort of sexual transmitted disease in this person's life because they've been all this sexual promiscuity's been going on. There could be debtors coming after them. I mean, they've done everything that you could possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, they're coming with luggage.
Mm-hmm.
But all the Father cared that they were coming home. Coming home. And he runs after him. Does that blow the prodigal son's mind? Mm. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. He's running after me. I know this look. He's going to kill me. You know, the daughter's going like, I'm dead now. Like, can you imagine? Should I run? Should I stay? Should I keep a distance? I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Because they deserve to be whacked, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the grace of God forgives.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, the prodigal, you see, starts leaning the opposite direction, starts about to take off. And you can see the knee bent, about to run the other direction. It's like, I am dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen that man run like that. And then he says, no. He says, don't go. No, this is good. This is good. He says, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. This is good. Mm-hmm. I forgive you. And he starts saying, listen, I got a ring. He puts a ring on his finger and he says, listen, I got some new shoes for you. Those shoes are worn out. They got mud all in them, man. Here are you some new shoes. Here's your robe, man. Put this robe of favor on. Somebody, you know, go get the tacos out. We're going to have a celebration today. You know, kill the fatted calf. You know, let's have a feast. Listen, I mean, this is great, right? I mean, you can imagine how blown the prodigal's mind was.
Mm-hmm.
Just blown. That's how good God is. Listen, America's going to repent. Yeah, we squandered everything. Yes, all this sexual promiscuity and all this stuff's going on. And what you're going to find out, yes, people are actually on a stage they call an altar eating peanut butter out of other people's armpits. But listen to me. Don't give up on a grace-filled, merciful God that can bring us all to a place of coming to our senses, that all of a sudden what seemed right at once becomes sin to us, and we repent and come to our senses, and we say, I've sinned against God, and I've sinned against man, and I'm going to make it right, and I've humbled myself. In this, what's coming to America, I truly believe,
mm-hmm.
is going to humble us. And we got to be ready. Peanut butter and all. To take them back. And so then you say, listen, you know, go buy a big box of food because we're going to celebrate my son, my daughter, our brother, our sister who was with us at once, who went into the world and was lost and dead, has come back and they're alive. And then you got to deal with the other aspect of it is the religious spirit, with the one who didn't go anywhere, the one who didn't squander everything. Saying, I can't believe that he is forgiving him. I can't believe that she's given him a chance. I can't believe that there's no way she's going to do it again. You know, I'm not going to waste this fat account. I'm not cooking no tacos. I'm not going to do this. I'm just not going to do it. And so he's having this party, you know, and the religious brother is offended. He's offended because the father forgave the son. And so he goes over to the religious folk, who he loves too, because remember, who does God love? And he's talking to both of them. He says, listen, come on over to the party. Come over to the party. Don't you know what this guy's done? Listen, daddy took all your money. He stole your stuff. He accused you. He's shamed you. He's sinned against God. He sinned against us. And I've been here all along, and I've done all this kind of stuff, and da-da-da. And he's going, you've had all this all along. You could have thrown a party anytime you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
This party we're throwing now is, yes, for him, but you could have killed a fatted calf for yourself. You tend the cattle.
Mm.
It's all yours. You're just upset because he's being celebrated. It has nothing to do with what we're using to celebrate him or her. He says, listen, my son that was once dead is alive. I really believe, you know, America's a prodigal nation now.
Mm-hmm.
Church is a prodigal nation. But you know what? Just like the prodigal story, we're about to go through the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so just hold on. Realize it's worth it. You've been praying that they would come back, right? You've been praying that the prodigals would come. At the same time, you've been praying that you wouldn't go through nothing. But aren't you willing to go through financial crisis and famine that causes your sons and your daughters, including grown sons and grown daughters who might even be ministers doing peanut butter skits, to look up, come to their senses, deal with their Father God in the vertical sense of their sin and acknowledge and dealing with man who they sinned against? Is it not worth going through something for them, for that alone? Or are we going to be like the elder brother mentality and say, well, that's not the heart of God. That's not the heart of God. God loves the backslider. He loves the one who once was alive, who once walked with him, but have left him and now is dead in their sins. As he says, Jesus says, by the way, my son that was alive, or my son that was dead is now alive.
Right.
Which blows all that doctrine out of the water.
Wow. Wasn't that powerful, Chris? I mean, think about that for a second. Yeah. Are we willing to go through something so the prodigals can come home?
Right.
Will we open up our arms to them? You know, will we forgive them, you know, for the things that we may have experienced through their, you know, wallowing in the mud at any point in life.
Right, right. Makes me think of, you know, why have we forgotten where we've come from?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
why do we think we're so perfect, you know, because we're now, you know, sitting in the church or, you know, aren't we all sinners saved by grace?
Exactly. Walking around offended.
Right.
Is what they did to me or didn't, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. Didn't God reach out and grab us, come to us when we first turned back.
And we're wallowing in the mud,
that's right.
bathing in it, sleeping in it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. What an awesome God we serve. Merciful.
Oh my gosh, he's so loving. Merciful.
You know, who are we to be any different?
Exactly right.
You know, we're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be becoming more and more like him as we go along this journey, is to become more and more like him.
Exactly.
But here we are pushing people away, turning the prodigal away.
Right.
Getting offended because he's come back home and he's being loved on. You know.
Right. Wow.
Amazing.
Oh my goodness. Lord, touch our hearts, God.
Yes.
No matter what it takes, God, prepare our hearts, God, for the prodigals when they come home.
Yes.
With open arms. In Jesus' name. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we will come back with our final segment, which I cannot wait to share with you. We'll be right back.
John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week. And I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin, and this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables, and she's like, hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app? And I'm like, the what? She's like, you know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it. And I'm like, well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone. She's like, no, I use your phone to find my phone. And I was like, oh, they got an app for that? She goes, yeah, they got an app for that. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app and I go, well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get. And she's like, really? I go, yeah. There's an app, VFNTV.com. And she's like, well, how do I get to that? I said, you can go right on Android or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com. Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that. And we start talking. She's like, wow, there's an app for that. I says, yep, check it out.
There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men
one man, then two men, then 40 men. As they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yeah. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back to seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Well, welcome back to VFN Radio. I am Pat Hamilton, and in the studio with me today is Chris Hamilton And I am so excited about this last segment. I cannot stand it any longer.
Yeah, man, you're keeping us in suspense, brother. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. It was so good when we first heard it. Well, actually, we did it a little while ago. But I'm not going to tell you anything. You're just going to have to listen. Listen up.
I don't know if I ever told you about this time. You know, we mentioned it the other day, and I want to mention it today. I was sent to this call. You know, I used to be a deputy, a law enforcement officer, and I was sent to this call. And the call was there was this house that was in probate, and nobody was living there, and they were waiting for it to go through a process or something. And they said that they thought they heard somebody was in the house. There was no power on the house or anything like that, and so they. For some reason, they sent me out there. It's like, that's scary. You know, like, oh, no, you're the deputy. You're supposed to go.
Right,
there.
Right. Police.
Yeah, the police.
Every time there was a problem, they always sent me. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so and so here we go. I'm going to this place, and it seems like an older house there, and it's kind of, it looks, it's all dark. It's at nighttime, and and I'm standing on the front porch, and you know, and I felt the front door is cracked. It's open. I'm like, oh my goodness, well, somebody could be in this thing. So I didn't shine my light at first. You know, I kind of kept my light down so I can kind of walk into this house to be able to you know, surprise them. So them surprising me.
Right.
And so I got in there and I turned on my flashlight. You have to understand, my flashlight at that time was something they use now, I think, for x-rays. I mean, if you thought might have had a broken bone, you could put that behind them and look on the other side. You can see if any bone is fractured. It was bright. It was so bright that it almost caught my car seat on fire and my cruiser once. It was just such a bright light. So anyway, so I come in there and all of a sudden, you want to surprise me. Like, bam, turn my light on, right? And when I turn my light on, cockroaches, man. Cockroaches like 2 inches, 3 inches, 6 foot wingspread. I mean, these things were huge. And there was just hundreds of them. And they just flew right to me like I was Velcro. Went, you know, and I had a short sleeve shirt on, man.
Oh, no.
And they have like pointy, like needle legs and stuff. And, thanks.
That's like your best friends, right?
It's not time to talk about your phobia. And, you know, and so, you know, I mean, I'm covered in roaches. In roaches. And I'm supposed to be the calm, cool police. I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah. You are the police.
I was police. And so I was terrified. Oh, my goodness, you know. And so you don't know whether somebody's in there with a gun. You don't know what's going on. You got roaches crawling up your pants legs and in your sleeves, in your ears. You know what I'm saying? This is horrific.
You're the police.
And listen, for people, our listeners that are not living in the southern parts of America, you haven't seen a roach till you've seen one down south.
No doubt.
It's as big. It's like a big, huge bay leaf or bigger.
It's like an airplane.
It really is. The wingspread will blow you away. And so needless to say, I felt inside of me there was a need that I needed to expedite my search of this house and get out of this house.
And escape.
And escape. I went to the house so fast. And what happened was transients, I guess, would come in there, kids or whoever, and they were sleeping on the floor on a mattress and that. There was open peanut butter jars and all that. And roaches were just everywhere.
Ugh.
Oh my goodness, man! I ran out of there, and they're crawling up your short sleeve shirts. They're going right up your arms and down the back of your neck and stuff. And, oh, it was just horrific. I'm glad I didn't shoot the place up. It wouldn't have done no good.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, I can't imagine it. And so,
that was another time.
I ran out of there, obviously, in a real cool way. And I didn't know where I wanted to get in my cruiser, because I know they're gonna have roaches in my cruiser, right? Because they're all over me. And so I'm shaking clothes out, doing all kinds of stuff.
Search yourself.
All right. I was getting them out. And that was horrific. And I remember when I was young, when I first got my understanding of roaches, and maybe Chris has a story here. It looks like he has one.
Oh.
That I was five. And Dad had this walking cane. He got this cane from the insurance company. He's like, an insurance company gives you a cane. I never thought about that. Not a good thing if you think about it, spiritually speaking. It's like, what are you trying to tell me? Anyway, you gave me all these awards. You did really good insurance. Mm-hmm. And so having this long cane that was curled or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was this, they'd built onto the house, closed in a garage. Mm-hmm. And there was this, you know, during those days, paneling was the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh. I don't know what happened, but paneling was a thing. And there was this cockroach that got in there on the wall in the back of this room, you know. And so I was like, because I was confident it crawls around and stuff like that, you know. And it was to me, I mean, you know, 5 years old, it looked like it was probably about, you know, 2 inches long and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And so I had that cane, you know, 5-year-olds, you know, we're like, you know, trying to see if frog legs stay on when you pull on them. And
very intelligent, right?
The fly wings come off. Can you fly with one wing? Different things that kids do. And so I'm poking at this cockroach. for all the PETA listeners out there. So I'm poking at this thing thinking, hey, you know, I'm bigger than you, and I'm poking this cane. But I didn't realize... My knowledge and my wisdom has not yet expanded to all the things that these big, huge Southern Florida roaches can do. And all of a sudden, this crawling roach that was on this paneling wall decided, okay, I'm not going to crawl anymore. I'm going to spread my 6-foot wingspread. I'm going to fly over to whoever's holding this cane, and I'm going to land on his shoulder. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
You're talking about squealing. Oh, this 5-year-old squealed and ran the whole length of that place. Oh, my goodness. I want to encourage you. Pest control is from the Lord. You look at a phobia. You like them?
Oh, roaches. We don't get along. No, I've got a similar story of being attacked by a roach.
You got attacked too, huh?
Oh, man. But I was, you know, probably
16?
Like 25?
Actually, I was older. I was about 26, really. No, I was, you know, growing up as a kid.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Growing up as a kid, you know, we would go to our grandmother's house, you know, all the time, and she had a really bad roach problem.
Lots of oak trees.
And so.
They live under
the
trees.
Edit that.
Anyway.
So yeah, at night, you know, I was always afraid of a cockroach crawling into my ear, up my nose, in my mouth, you know, because they were everywhere.
Oh, and my goodness.
You were for the mission field. You're going to go to the mission field. You're right.
And so, you know, later on in life.
Instead, he got hairballs.
Yeah. I was, you know, later on when I was living in the house, there was one particular night where there was a cockroach in the kitchen, and it was this biggest cockroach I'd ever seen. Like I said, it was 2-3 feet long. And
did it have a saddle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I went to swat this thing,
from my kitchen.
and it flew off. I mean, it came like right towards my face.
Were you smoking your Bible about that time? This might not have actually happened. We don't know, right?
I hallucinated it.
Yeah. And so I ducked this cockroach, and it lands on top of this shelf. And so so I turn around, and I'm going towards this roach to swat it, and this thing stands up on its hind legs.
Oh, wow.
I'm serious. This thing stood up and just flew at me again. And I screamed.
It flipped me again.
And I screamed like a little banshee.
It flipped him. It flipped a 26-year-old man. It's a cockroach flipped him.
No, wow. Flew at me.
Oh, flew at you. At least you flipped them.
Wow. That's a big roach, bro.
They came in like this, too. I don't know.
It was a big roach.
Yeah, right. He was on drugs.
And then it spoke to you, right?
No, it didn't speak. I spoke. I screamed like a little girl.
Well, okay. This is the last cockroach segment. You know, and you know, there's just different things. You know, I've been to Jersey and seen some stuff, been to New York, and I saw that. I said, "Oh, what's that? A dog?" They go, "No, that's the rat." That's a rat. And so I was in a hospital. I was in a hospital because somebody was there in the hospital, and I wanted to stay the night. They don't design hospital furniture for you to be there.
I mean, they intentionally, they have a, some psychologist designing furniture to just poke you some, in a certain way that you'll go home mm-hmm. and not stay in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they mopped their carpets. They mopped their carpets in the hospital. And so anyway, so there was a coffee pot and there was like this waiting room, whatever, down from the room that I was staying there. And, just staying there. Actually, it was Donna's mom that we were there. And I just wanted to stay close to Donna and her mother. And I said, well, I'm just going to stay here in this waiting room and kind of somehow lay between on the arms or something. You know, it's just really tough to do. And I'm laying there wide awake with an armrest in my back. Somehow, and I look at the coffee pot. And over the coffee pot, this is in a hospital. You know, it's in a hospital. I look up and there's one of these huge roaches that he's talking about. I'm over the coffee. I'm like, you know me, I don't have like 30 cups of coffee.
Oh, no.
I'm like, and so I'm laying there and I'm thinking, you know, cause we're in this daze because we've been awake for like, you know, weeks. And, it seems like, and so I'm thinking, you know, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at it. Then all of a sudden, and what Chris said reminded me of it. This, you're thinking, you know, you think you know how things happen, you know, and you're looking at it and you're in and out and what's going on. It's like, you know, as long as it stays way over there, I will not have coffee again ever anywhere in the vicinity of this place.
Oh my gosh.
And then it literally bows up. It leans back. It leans back now. It's on the wall. So it's on a wall. Its feet are touching the wall. Its back feet, because it had a whole bunch of them. And then its front feet came off. You got to get this. You got to get this now. And then it took its neck and its head and looked around the room. It looked around the room.
Oh, my God.
I levitated off that seat, man. I'm like, boom, I am out of here. I am going home. Lord, we'll just trust
oh,
this thing with
goodness.
That. It looked around the room. It looked at me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. What's happening? Roaches are mutating. What are we doing? What is this coming from? So,
oh,
you
my
know,
goodness.
It is, you know, it's pretty... Pretty amazing, these big Bay Meadow type bugs, they call them. But palmetto bugs. And
well,
those are big.
We okay. haven't had Jersey
oh, really?
Roach yet.
Are you serious?
Jersey Roach yet. Now they're not as big, but this maybe this would be
those
the
are
last
called
one.
Ants.
Maybe this would be the last roach
ants.
Story, okay? I remember my parents, this is when I was younger, maybe about 5-6 years old. Older than that. I don't know. Just young kid at the time.
How tall were you then?
I don't know. They're probably almost the same size now. But but
you got that tricycle? That tricycle.
Well, this beautiful couple actually that led my parents to the Lord. They actually were come visiting my parents at the house for dinner.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
you got to get this
of so. All the times for you to come out, Roach.
So you know this is a wonderful.
If your mother's
couple.
Listening, she's
so,
dying right yeah. now. For saying this.
My mom is a spotless person. When you live in an apartment building, if your neighbors got roaches, it don't matter. You gonna have roaches. They leave one apartment, come to the next. But she's spotless, still is spotless type person. And cleaning, you know, doing her thing. And so this couple is there, and I remember this couple were so nice. It was just so proper. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, just you know, they actually came to our apartment and they're eating dinner with us, and it was a huge deal. So I get up, you know how your act is like trying to be on my best behavior, and I'm picking up plates.
That
and
had
doing
to be
stuff.
Hard. That had to be hard for you.
Oh my goodness, very hard. So I'm, you know, doing my thing, and all of a sudden, I see this woman talking to my parents, and I see this roach on the back of her neck.
Oh no! Wait. Where is it?
On the back of her neck.
Oh my goodness! Did she bring it with her?
So I'm a kid. And I'm like, oh my gosh! There's a roach on her neck.
Oh no, your mom!
No, out loud.
Your mom was like, "Thank you, John Paul. Thank you."
If you could have seen their eyes, and she's getting up and she's patting her back and running around, it was hilarious. I'm sure my mom doesn't even remember that story, but it was hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure
she does. Awesome friends, and they knew it for many years, but it was. That was something else, man. That was something else.
Can you imagine? She probably went home and thought, well, we're just in the mission field, honey.
We're just reaching out to them. We're just trying to be nice to these people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. My goodness. Can you believe that? Oh, wow. Those are horrific stories.
That was hilarious.
But I got to add one to it.
No.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I don't know. I just went totally blank, I guess, that day. I didn't think of this, but I remember one this morning.
Oh.
It was awful. Get this. All right. Jordan, if you're on listening, baby, you might want to turn the radio off. Oh, my goodness. Check this out. We're at home. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, get this. She was probably a year old at this time. Mm-hmm. You know, we were living in an older house, kind of like the one that our grandmother lived in.
Right.
And of course there's oak trees everywhere. So I remember one night, I think it was just me and her by ourselves. This is obviously before Jordan. She, like I said, she was about a year old and just started crawling around on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to look out of the corner of my eye over towards the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see her out of the corner of my eye just kind of crawling, you know, in that direction. And then I happened to look down on the ground. And there's a dead roach carcass on the ground.
Uh-uh.
And of course, immediately I'm thinking, I better pick that up because you know kids.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
Something on the ground, it's going in the mouth.
Straight into the
mouth. It's going in the mouth. I could not move fast enough.
Oh, no.
She beelined right for that roach, picked it up, stuck it in her mouth.
No.
Yes, I could not get to her fast. I levitated off that couch, and I flew across the room, and I snatched it out of her mouth. I said, no! You know, of course, scared the tar out of her. She started screaming and crying, but oh, my gosh. That was horrific. I could not.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. It was awful.
I don't know, dude. You're a braver man than I. I don't think I could have touched it.
Oh, my goodness. It was coming out, dude. It was coming out. Oh, my goodness. Well, we have come to the end of this extra hour in today's program. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.